Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I confidently go to our next guest to give us both good insight on the Major League Baseball front and on the National Basketball Association front, because he does them both on the radio side for SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio. His show, Inside Pitch, daily 2 to 6 Eastern and 11 to 3 West Coast time. And you catch him on both TNT's coverage, NBA stuff, and the NBA TV, which is where I saw him this week, live in Las Vegas. Casey Stern joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Case?
Hey, Joan. How are you, my friend? How's everything, okay?
Very good. Whose idea, yours or the wife's, to rock the 80s porn mustache this week in Vegas?
Definitely mine. It was funny. My son said to me this morning, he said, Daddy, are you going to shave this year? So it's time. You know what? Do something different, Jody. Whatever, I figured if I was incognito at the tables, maybe I'd figure it out. It didn't work.
They wouldn't be running you down for autographs all week out
right.
there in Vegas.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's exactly why I wasn't able to win in Vegas.
Yeah,
exactly.
I figured. We'll start there, since I did catch you on TV with Vince Carter the other day and thought you looked good. Anyone jump out at you, either first year, second year, third year guys, that you said, wow, this guy is going to step right in and actually have an in-season, regular season impact in the NBA this year?
Yeah, last year in doing games at Summer League in Vegas, the best player at Summer League was Donovan Mitchell. And he outperformed all of the stars that were supposed to be brighter than he was, and second-year players. So I buy into it, and I would say one of the other really good players last year who surprised some people was Fred VanVleet, who ended up being a guy who just earned $20 million. So I think it is a place where you learn. Two or three guys that stood out to me. One, Knicks fans haven't had much to cheer about, but I did a game with Kevin Knox the other day. Greg Anthony and I were both floored. And Doc Rivers told me that of all the guys, and they had a number of picks ahead of them and behind them that they have into their workouts, he gave them the best workout of anybody. So I think Knox is going to be a star. So, and he's 18 years old. So that's one. Gildas Alexander, who I really didn't like that much in college, was really, really impressive. The Kentucky point guard for the Clippers. He was really, really good. He's got size. I was super impressed with him, thought he did a good job. And Wendell Carter Jr. It's interesting. The Bulls just picked up Jabari Parker today. They're going to have five guys under the age of 24 years old, it looks like, in their starting lineup. And Wendell Carter Jr. looked really, really good in Summer League.
And interesting you threw two Kentucky guys in there, because there are some people who believe players do get better AC after Cal, that he's a great college recruiter and puts together dynamite teams and can bring in the top flight talent, but he doesn't always get the most out of them when he's got them in Lexington, but they go on to have even better careers. And the two guys you mentioned, you think both stood out in the Summer League, huh?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why is because they're so cycling guys in and out, and they've got like five-star recruits all playing with each other, that nobody's able to really show what they can do. A great example of that is Devin Booker, who's one of the better young scorers in the league.
Yep.
I mean, he wasn't even playing enough minutes when he was in college. He had guards ahead of him, which is just crazy. Imagine that. So I think that's part of the problem. And Knox is a great example of that. I mean, here's a guy who did score, but there's not one person that's ever the focus on that team because they have so many different players. So I agree. I don't know if it's necessarily that Cal's not coaching. I think he's doing whatever he has to do for that one year, and I'm not sure necessarily that any of the guys are featuring their skills. But Gilgeous Alexander, who I did not like in college, I saw him during the year and in the tournament. He looked fantastic at Summer League, so I was very impressed.
That's a great analysis on your part, and maybe I should have said AK after Kentucky rather than after Cal. Not necessarily put it on the coach, on just the overall program and the way that it runs. Casey Stern here with us on CBS Sports Radio. What's going to shake out with Kawhi Leonard there, Mr. NBA?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think we're at a standstill where the Spurs have, look, they have no, Kawhi's got no leverage because here's the thing. He has to go out this year and perform at a high level because you've got teams that aren't sure how healthy he is. Even though we think he was healthy enough to play and didn't want to, he's got to prove that. And he's still in a walk year where if he's going to leave at some point, regardless of where he gets traded, or if he wants to go to the Lakers where he says he's going, they still could try and save a little money if he doesn't perform well. So he's going to want to be that two-way player who, to me, when he's healthy, I think he is a top five player in the league. He's going to have to look like that. And the Spurs know that. So because of that, they have no rush to go give him away because they know that they've got him you-know-where because he has to play well for them. So I think until somebody bowls pop over, he's not going to move him. And I think it has to be to the East because I don't think Greg Popovich wants anything to do with looking at him after he trades him and then go see a team in the playoffs. So I still think Philadelphia is a team that if they wanted to pull the trigger on this deal, probably can make it happen. Boston, if they wanted to pull the trigger on a deal, can make it happen. If he gets traded, I think it'll be the East and not the Lakers.
Do you think the Pop's dedicated to get him out of the conference?
Yeah, I think so. That's why you hear Toronto's name up too now. I think they want him out of the conference, yeah.
Yeah, if they put DeRozan in, then that's the best player who's been discussed. But if they don't, I'm not in love. I think both Philly and Boston can put better package together. I will agree there. All right, flopping over to baseball. You're always good at this stuff, theoretical-type questions.
Mm-hmm.
Does the All-Star game need to be tweaked?
Yeah, I mean, look, yes and no. First of all, here's the no part. It's still an exhibition, and the Pro Bowl's a disaster. The NHL skills competition, which is fantastic, is way better than the game. And the NBA All-Star game has been brutal for years. It was better this year because they threw some money into it, but it still hasn't been what it was in the 80s because you don't have competitors the level of Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, Magic, guys who one-on-one, even Kobe was like that in the 90s, but you just don't have guys like that anymore. So, you know, I think it's not necessarily the fourth out of four, you know? I mean, I think it's fine either way. I would like to see it tweaked a little bit maybe. I mean, I'd like to see some ability to maybe give the guys a little bit of an extra incentive. I think the game itself is one thing, but I would like to see some money on the line for the Home Run Derby. I'd like to see them participate. And I think even though the slam dunk competition, Jody, has been a joke, the NBA doesn't need it. I mean, the slam dunk competition isn't going to make or break the NBA. They're a marketing machine. But baseball, with there's no basketball, there's no hockey, there's no football yet. This is all that's on TV. They're nationally televising it. Go ahead and get, you want Mike Trout against Aaron Judge. You don't want, no offense to Phillies fans, Rhys Hoskins, and no offense to Brewers fans, Jesus Aguilar. Nobody even knows who that is nationally. So I think the Home Run Derby is kind of a joke this year. I think they should do skills competition. I talked to a couple of managers this week, including Craig Counsell, who told me he'd be on my committee if I create one for it. I'd be all for it. Would you rather, Jody, watch Billy Hamilton run a heat against D. Gordon, or would you rather watch the guy take 700 swings? For me, I want athleticism. Give me Puig and Hayward in right field throwing at targets at third base. Give some money out there. Match money to charity. It doesn't have to be money in their pockets. Baseball's got plenty of money. I think they could really do a better job on the day before, even more so than the game.
Now, let me ask you this, and I fear I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Part of why the NBA All-Star Weekend works and why they are in a better position in baseball right now is because, as both a league and the individual players, they play the social media game much better. They know how to give each other a hard time via Twitter. They watch it so that it doesn't get out of hand, and I think they've done a good job of controlling it and commissioning it as much as growing it. Baseball just doesn't have that. You don't have guys on Twitter. You don't have guys making a statement via social media. There isn't much social media talk in general about baseball. Can they do anything to they won't get on the level of the NBA. Nobody in Major League Baseball tweets like Joel Embiid. But can they at least grow that aspect of it? And then maybe on something like All-Star Weekend or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever you want to call it, they can actually generate some interest with a younger fan base by getting more involved on Twitter and social media and the like?
Look, I think so. I think there's a couple of things. One, I think they have to allow more freedom for personality. Yeah, it's nice that they did a weekend in August last year where guys got to wear like XFL names on their back. But you shouldn't have a weekend a year. That should be every day of the year. We should allow guys with both, first of all, what they wear in terms of cleats and all that stuff to make their own money and have personality and be different. Where, you know, God forbid this, you know, the shoelace is in the wrong place and they're, you know, not abiding by uniform rules, because that's where baseball's at. We're so antiquated that baseball's still playing Atari when everyone else is in virtual reality. And, you know, one of the problems that for me, in addition to, you know, not pushing personality, they do a terrible job with pop culture. Love David Ross, but what is he doing on Dancing with the Stars instead of Mike Trout? And if Mike Trout doesn't want to do it, pay him on the side to do it. Like, just, you know, they have to find a way to push these faces out there. And even if they don't want to, they have to try and sit them down and explain to them where the game's at, where the world is at, and why they have to do it. And if they got to financially go ahead and grease the wheel to do it, then do it. And the last thing I'll tell you, which is something I always say on the air, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, you've seen people in Park Avenue in that Major League Baseball office. Go find me one guy south of 50 years old. There's not one. There's not one. Front offices are being run by the Theo Epsteins of the world, who was 28, 29, and John Daniels the same. And how young is David Stearns and Atkins and all these guys that are running teams now? And why are we sitting there with, you know, Manfred and Woodfork and Torrey, and, you know, every committee's got John Schuerholz, God bless them, Tony La Russa. Their grandkids should be on the committees creating these decisions, not them. They're way too old.
Interesting point. Casey Stern here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, back to the actual games that count themselves. We're 17 days away from the trade deadline. Usually we've had a deal or two at about this juncture. This year we've had one, Kelvin Herrera, going from the Royals to the Nationals, and that's been it. Are we going to have a domino effect here? Is something going to happen, a trade going to get made, which will lend itself to a different trade, which will force another trade? Or are we all going to be sitting here on the 28th going, and still nothing's happened, and we're down to 72 hours. Something's got to shake loose here soon.
Well, here's the good thing. The last two or three deadlines have been insanity. So, you know, last year was supposed to change and go back to, like, boring, and I never thought it would. It ended up having more deals, I think, than the prior two. It's crazier every year, and I think this is going to be the craziest deadline yet, because there's more have-nots than there have ever been. Like, 90% of the American League are all selling. So there's going to be a ton, I really believe that, of trades. So I think they'll happen, even if a lot of them happen late. But I think Machado is going to go really soon. I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing on another team by the time the All-Star break is over. Reason why is the following. They have no leverage the longer that this takes. Right now, they have teams that are bidding that want Manny Machado and teams that no other teams are in it. But eventually it's going to get to a point where everyone's going to sit there, they're going to hold firm, and they're going to say, no, screw you, because you can't get stuck with Machado. It's not like, oh, well, if we stay with Machado, it's not the end of the world. No, it is the end of the world. They have to trade him. They have zero leverage once it gets too late in this thing. Because of that, I think eventually they're going to take the best deal. I think Machado is going to go on the next 6-7 days. I really do. I think it's going to be sooner rather than later.
And about Machado's value, I said to someone on the other day, and they really thought that I was joking, and they kind of answered me incredulously and said, you're just kidding, right? And I don't. I said that the package, the value of the package for Brad Hand will outweigh the package for Manny Machado. And I know on a level it doesn't make sense, because Brad Hand is, what, the 105th best player in Major League Baseball, and Manny Machado is a top five player in Major League Baseball. But length of coverage, the control, and having him going forward as compared to a rental seriously changed the value. Agree or disagree, the value of those two players, what they will bring in return, is damn close, if not advantage Hand.
I understand where you're coming from, and I think from a general standpoint, I probably would agree with you. And I think the Padres, who, from people I've talked to, don't want to trade Brad Hand, and I think that making a big mistake. Nobody cares who's closing for a last-place team the next couple of years. But I will disagree in this case for this reason. When Aroldis Chapman got traded, it changed everything. He was traded for 2 months as a closer, not an everyday player, for the best prospect in the best system in the game. The Cubs were the champions, and that guy was their best prospect. He was number one. So to get that for 2 months at Chapman changed everything for me. And I think it changed the way that teams are looking at what has to be given for rentals. Teams used to be able to be more stubborn than they are. The other thing is, and why I think in this case it probably won't be true, is because there are a couple of teams that are going to be absolutely freakishly desperate for Machado. The Yankees are not one. The Yankees will not give the best offer, in my opinion, for Machado, which I don't think is why they're going to get him. I don't think they will. I think he's going to either Arizona or L.A. because I think both of those teams are going to really drop the hammer to do it. Arizona knows after last year they've got to try and find a way to win this division. Didn't work with J.D. Martinez. They've got the Dodgers with kind of we don't know what Kershaw is. Turner now is dealing with a hip. They have to take advantage of this. The Nationals aren't what the Nationals were supposed to be. I think Arizona, and I know their ownership is into it, is going to try and go get Machado. And I think the Dodgers, who have Seager coming back next year, are going to figure, well, this is actually perfect for us because we don't have to pay him after this year. It's a rental. And the Dodgers are coming off a fifth division title in a row where they lost in Game 7. Winning another division title and getting a couple rounds in the playoffs is not good enough for that ownership right now. So I personally believe, because I do think those two West teams will be desperate enough, someone's going to give quite a haul, I think, for only 2 months of Manny Machado.
Fair enough. Other than Machado, I want to ask you this question. I asked someone this earlier today. Assuming the price is the same for both players, let's set it at a very random 8 years, $300 million, okay? Mm-hmm. And the team has a need at either shortstop or third base and or right field. Okay. And you're willing to make the bid for either Mr. Harper or Mr. Machado. It's the same price tag on both. The need for the team is the same. Which one would you give the $8 and $300 to?
Well, the reason why this is easy is because Machado is going to make way more money than Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is getting crushed financially with the way he's playing. And the great thing for Nationals fans is that as bad as he's playing, that makes it more likely he'll stay there. Because the Nationals, he has more value to them than anybody else and more value to learners than any other owner. He's going to stay with D.C. If he has a second half like the first half, he will be a National. No one else is going to pay him anywhere close to that. He's been awful. You know, I understand the home runs and the ribbon. The guy's hitting .210. He swings at everything. He's got no plate discipline. When they had injuries and you have guys going down, the guys you pay that kind of money, they drag you on their back. He played worse than the other players during that. To me, he's lost a lot of money, and I think Manny Machado has gained a lot of money, especially because he's playing a premier position at shortstop. So it's easy for me because I am personally a believer that Machado, when I say way more, I think Machado will make $40 to $50 million over the deal, more than Bryce Harper will.
That is significant. Case, always a pleasure. Don't ever shave, brother.
I appreciate that, Joe. Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon. That is Casey Stern. SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio, his show, Inside Pitch, 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 to 3 West Coast time on a day-in, day-out basis, Monday to Friday. You catch him on Turner's NBA and college stuff and also NBA TV.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.